Thanks for joining us. I'm Quentin Chandler, and today we're going to be discussing healthcare reform for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And the borough has established a task force to tackle this issue. I have in the studio with me today Borough Mayor Mike Navarre, the healthcare task force chair Rick Ross, and task force member Bill Smith of Homer. Thank you all for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Quentin.
Good morning.
So, first, Rick and Bill, I'm going to go to you. First, Rick, I'm wondering if you can kind of briefly discuss your background and how you came to be on this task force.
I'm a resident of Kenai. I served a number of years on the Strategic Planning Committee as a citizen representative for the hospital, and then approximately 10 years on the operating board of the hospital. Served on one borough prior task force that dealt with the hospital issues, and was asked if I would consider serving on this present task force that's looking into the models of how medical care is presented here on the peninsula.
Thank you very much, Rick. And now, Bill, how about you? How did you get on this task force?
Well, I was on the borough assembly for 7 years, and part of that time, the last couple of years, I was bugging the mayor to start a task force to help us deal with our healthcare issues, and as a result, he appointed me to the task force.
Gotcha. You can't just ask for something and not be a part of it when it comes to fruition.
Right.
And Mayor Navarre, you've been a proponent of having a task force to look at the issues with healthcare on the peninsula for a little while now, right?
You know, I have. Really, the big reason that I ran for mayor back in 2011 is because I had gotten on the Central Peninsula Hospital operating board and saw some of the friction between the borough and the hospitals, and then looked at the revenues that were being generated then by Central and South Peninsula, and you know, figured that we could do a better job in delivering health care on the peninsula. Not that the hospital boards aren't doing a good job now, they are. But there are a lot of changes that are happening at the federal level, never mind the Affordable Care Act, looking at the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services and the changes that they're making in the demonstration projects. There's a lot of things on the horizon that are going to impact health care and delivery of health care on the Kenai Peninsula, and I wanted to try to figure out a way that we could get ahead of it. And the reason that Rick and Bill are on the task force is because I wanted to bring people on who were knowledgeable, well-respected in the community in order to help develop a plan that would be a consensus plan rather than just the mayor's plan, which would run into opposition.
Got you. So we're going to talk a little bit about these changes that you just mentioned, the changes in the trends that are happening in the industry right now. But I want to go to, you know, the overarching goal of this task force. It's kind of I want to get a good understanding of what this is. It's kind of to bring efficiencies to the way our hospitals operate, I'm guessing, and also to the way they are administered. So let's kind of narrow down that idea, that goal that you want to, what you want to have come out of this task force at the end. Mayor, I'm going to stick with you.
Okay, well, really, there's a lot of changes that are happening at the federal level and at the state level with the Medicaid program, which is one of the areas that generates a lot of revenues for hospitals. The state is facing a really serious fiscal challenge right now, and Medicaid is going to be one of the areas that they look out at to find some savings. So that's one area. Medicare at the federal level is already looking at profit centers in hospitals. And so the way that business has been conducted in the past is going to change as a result of pressures from the payers. And the payers are, in healthcare, about 65% of all the healthcare costs in the country are paid for by government at one level or another, through Medicaid, Medicare, TRICARE, which is military, and or veterans care, and then also public employees' health care plans. So that's what's driving, I guess, some of the change is to look at the ever-increasing cost of health care and the recognition that it's not sustainable and something has to give somewhere. And in Alaska in particular, and in our communities, we're also seeing a growth in the senior demographic, and that creates its own set of challenges because there's a additional demand for more health care at the same time as the ability to pay for it in efficient and cost-effective manner. And so I felt like there are opportunities for us to look out 5 years and 10 years and figure out where we want to end up with in healthcare and see if there are other models that can help us adapt to the change that's coming rather than just react to it.
I'm going to go over here to you, Rick. So Mayor Navarro has kind of addressed what he thinks needs to change here. But before we go farther into that, wanted to kind of look at the makeup of the hospitals and how they're organized here on the peninsula. Could you speak to, you know, the service areas, and then also the borough's relationship with hospital administration? You know, how does all of this tie together?
Well, you've got a big subject there. Right now, we have the two service areas that have hospitals in them that are owned by the borough. In addition, you have the City of Seward that owns a hospital. And as the mayor's charge to the task force in his letter said, we have excellent health services and providers here on the peninsula. The goal of the task force is to look at those models and ensure in our own mind and for the sake of the community that in the current environment, the changing environment, are we going to be able to continue that going forward? And in looking at that, you look at the structures, the service area structure. Is this the status quo where we want to be? Or are there affiliations that can take place? And this is something the consultant is looking at on up through, and probably the more extreme would be consolidation. There's mergers going on elsewhere in the states trying to save hospitals. And there's hospital failures taking place. I believe there was 60-some of them last year. So it's an opportunity in the current environment to look at our present models and say, are they the best vehicle to go forward to continue good health care on the peninsula, or are there alternatives we should look at? And the consultant report will give guidance to the task force, the service area boards in the communities as to where we should go.
And when you say consultants, you're referring to consultants that the borough has hired to?
Stroudwater, who gave a presentation. They've been in the community. They were down here, gave a presentation at the last task force meeting on kind of the deep dive on the financials and the demographics, but with no recommendations at this point.
I see. So, Mayor, or actually, I'll stay with you, Rick. Rick, you mentioned consolidation. That's a big topic, and it comes with a lot of opinions. But I just want to talk about what consolidation would, or why consolidation might be an option. What would that look like? What would happen if the hospital service areas were brought under one roof, I guess you would say?
I can't tell you what that would look like at this point. The task force has taken no positions of any kind. We don't have enough information to take that. Consolidation, I was pointing out, would be one extreme end of the spectrum from the present status quo. There may be affiliations and through, you know, the accountable care organization structures, you can have independent operations within them. So I was just lining out the ends of the spectrum. I do not know what consolidation would look like or if it's even an alternative to be considered based on what comes back.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Navarre, I was wondering, I think you have mentioned before that consolidation would be an alternative that could be that could be looked at and might be a good alternative.
Well, in looking at how hospitals are operated now on the Kenai Peninsula, there's gaps. currently, and we're operated by service areas. And service areas are entities that are set up under the state statutes that allow for a service to be provided within that service area that's not a general power of the borough. So the borough doesn't have healthcare powers. We operate hospital powers under service areas. So we have South Peninsula and Central Peninsula. And the boundaries of South Peninsula, when they were set up in 1969, go clear up to a little bit north of Nanilchik. And a lot of the folks in Nanilchik say, you know, we don't use South Peninsula Hospital. We use Central Peninsula Hospital. Why are we paying? So there's pressure coming from that standpoint. But longer term, when you look at the demographics, South Peninsula, when they made their presentation to the task force, said, you know, we have a 20% senior population now, and in the next 10 years, we expect that to double to 40% of our population being senior population. And that's good on the one hand because we value our seniors, but and South Peninsula and the folks in Homer are very, very proud of their hospital and supportive of their hospital, but they're paying 2.3 mils now. And if you and seniors are exempt from taxes in the service area, and the borough can't use general government revenues to support services that are provided for in a service area. And so looking longer term at sort of the oil and gas activity in Cook Inlet, the potential for LNG facility, if that happens, those revenues will go to the borough. And South Penn is, Homer is part of the borough, and I'm looking at sort of on a broad overall picture of the borough and thinking what might be best in the long term for everybody, including South Peninsula, and is there a structure, overriding structure that can fill in some of the gaps that are out there around the peninsula, such as, you know, even if you look at drug treatment, if you look at physician sponsors for our emergency services, if you look at some ambulance transportation in certain areas, those are gaps that aren't covered by anyone right now in certain areas of the borough. And so when I look at that, I say, well, maybe the best way to do it is with one umbrella. And it might be that we'll keep the service areas and try to put an umbrella over the top of it that would pick up some of those gaps. On the other hand, does consolidation make sense? And I'm not pushing consolidation. It's really the reason that we put a task force together is that when I look out long term and see some of the pressures that are coming from the changing demographics and the competition that's driving part of healthcare competing in a sort of even a global but certainly a national healthcare environment, I guess I just wanted to see if those pressures that are being brought to bear should be addressed by looking at the possibility of different structures. And my idea originally was to build a borough-wide vision of what healthcare should look like and do it by consensus. And you know, whether we'll get there or not, we'll see. We'll see what different types of structures our consultants come together with, and then there'll be a facilitated process among the task force members to try to figure out, does something different make sense?
I see. So what I'm gathering from you is that consolidation is this long-term option that you have in mind that you want to see if it, you know, you want to see right now if it would make sense.
I want to see if there's a different structure that makes sense, whether it's affiliation or consolidation, or how do we structure and position our communities on a borough-wide basis? How do we position them for the future of healthcare, making sure that we can sustain quality, accessible healthcare for our residents in the long term? I don't know what that looks like yet. One option is consolidation, and I think that when folks hear the word consolidation, they immediately get a fear because of the change from the status quo, and that's understandable. But we're not going to consolidation. We're just evaluating what options are available to try to figure out what's best for everybody on the peninsula.
And, Bill, that fear that the mayor just mentioned, I understand that is very real here in the Homer community because people here in Homer have been living with this hospital, South Peninsula Hospital, for a very long time, and are, you know, afraid of maybe losing some, continuing to lose like local control, a sense of local control. That's what I'm gathering. Is that also what you hear? Am I right there?
Well, I don't have a particular fear of it, but it is definitely a theme in the community that we want to maintain our independence, and that independence would go to being able to decide if we needed to have an MRI machine here versus having a central authority deciding whether or not we had an MRI machine here. The people of this area have fought long and hard to build and maintain a hospital facility. We had two different bond issues that went to the voters in order to modernize the hospital that we have, which is the main result of which is the mill rate that the mayor spoke of. But the Stroudwater group actually talked about focusing on maintaining independence and other ways that, that facilities work together through accountable care organizations and other kinds of cooperations.
Mm-hmm. But individual hospitals, like South Peninsula, even like Central Peninsula, they have to affiliate with some hospital entity or they will fail. And to some degree, that's already happening. In fact, to a large degree, Central Peninsula works with both the major hospitals in Anchorage, and South Peninsula has a pretty strong affiliation with Providence. So there's already some of that affiliation, and it has to take place, or the pressures, the financial pressures on the cost of health care are going to force changes anyway. And what my goal is to look at what changes are coming, how the healthcare environment's changing, and manage those changes rather than reacting to those changes.
All right. I want to continue with speaking about the changes that are happening in the industry and what those trends look like and how we can adapt to those changes. But first, I'm going to go over to the phone line. We have on line one, Catriona. Hi, Catriona. How are you doing?
Hi, Quentin. I'm doing well. Good morning to you and to Manavar. And I'm not able to listen fully because I'm at work, but sounds like I picked a really great time to call in because my points are really relevant to the particular aspect you were just talking about.
So what can we do for you, Catriona?
Well, I am calling from my seat here at Kachemak Bay Family Planning Clinic, where one of my roles is case management. And in particular, I assist our clients who have to get follow-up because of abnormal mammograms and abnormal pap smears. And I've been doing that for over a decade now. And I just wanted to talk a little about how things have changed in the past 10 plus years, and what seems to be the better for the health of our clients and for our community on a whole, such as a decade ago, if someone had a mammogram that was worrisome down here, they had to go to Anchorage for a biopsy. That often involved weeks of waiting, plus the traveling. And occasionally there was the option of Kenai, but a lot of these clients had difficulty with transportation. So if they had to rely on our program to transport them, that worked through Medicaid, and the only accommodations available were up in Anchorage. So it just got to be a very long process that involved a lot of stress just to get a fairly simple biopsy that usually was benign, or to have that wait to start treatment if they in fact had a breast cancer diagnosis. And then for people experiencing cancer, having an infusion center here has been a huge benefit to them and their family's well-being. I really appreciate, Mayor Navarre, your efforts and your dedication to being proactive and having a lot of foresight and moving forward. And I understand the need for consolidation and building strong affiliations. I'm just hoping we can build off of technologies such as telemedicine and still retain some ways of having like a really complete medical home for all the different kind of island pocket communities like Homer, like Kenai and Soldotna, and really make sure those people can get what they need to continue with their lives while they're in treatment.
All right, got you, Catriona. Thank you very much for calling in and letting us and sharing that with us.
Yep, thank you, and thanks for doing this coffee table today. And I'm sorry, I'm always at work and can't listen to it all, but thanks a lot.
Take care, Catriona.
Okay, bye-bye.
We have one more caller on line two, David. How are you doing, David? Oh, we don't have him yet.
Question about a comment that I think I heard correctly from the mayor regarding the increase in need for medical services by the senior population portion. And if I heard him correctly, he said that they were not paying for that. And my understanding is that our property taxes are capped so that the amount of maximum value for the property is probably equivalent to the average in the borough, and we are definitely paying a portion of our property tax towards the support of the service area. And I'll take my answer off the radio.
Okay, well, actually the first $350,000 is exempted for seniors, and even beyond that, there's an income provision that says if your income is, if your taxes are still over, I think 2% of your annual income, you can get a further reduction or exemption on your taxes. I think that's pretty close to what it says. And I'm not suggesting that you're not paying for it, because seniors do pay for their care either through Medicare or sometimes through private pay or supplemental care. What I'm pointing out is that there's a lot of support now for the hospital and willingness to pay for the cost of the hospital, but with a changing demographic and an increase in seniors and exempted from that portion being exempted from the service area taxes, it shifts that burden over time someplace else. That's what happens with taxes. And so that's only one of the areas that I see as pressure. It's not that you're not paying for it because we have either Medicaid or Medicare like I said, supplemental care. So it's not that it's not being paid for. It's just that the tax support that you're seeing could change over time and shift the burden to those non-senior residents in a larger proportion.
Thank you very much, Mayor Navarre, for answering our caller. I would just want to take a moment to throw out our phone number for anyone else who wants to call in to the coffee table. You can call locally, 907-235-7721, or if you're not in the immediate area, you can call toll-free, 1-800-979-5224.
And Quinn, can I follow up on why that's just one of the pressures?
Right.
That's one of the pressures. And then at the same time, Medicare is looking at changing how they pay for services. And Medicaid, which in the state of Alaska, you know, we used to get about 90% of Medicaid paid for by the federal government, and it shifted over time to where it's about 50%. It's a huge portion of the state general fund budget now. Health and Social Services is about $1.2 billion of our $5 billion overall state budget. And that's one of the areas that the legislature is looking at cutting back and reforming the Medicaid program. And when you talk about reform, it means the goal is trying to reduce the cost of that program. And so the combination of all those pressures, plus private healthcare payers. Private healthcare payers are looking at costs of hospital and healthcare in Alaska, and in some cases encouraging their membership to go outside of Alaska in order to get care because it's a lot cheaper. And that's some of the pressures that are being brought to bear, that the cumulative impact of it means that we ought to look at whether or not we can find some ways to prepare for those changes.
Thank you very much, Mayor Navarre. So we have one more caller on line two, Ted. Are you there,
Hello.
Ted?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I had a quick question. I know over the last 20-some years, I think we've voted on two bond issues for the hospital. And I was just curious whether there was any information, maybe Bill would know, of what the sunset, how far out do those bonds go as far as South Peninsula? And I'm not sure as far as how that reflects on the central and the sewer situation, but I'll take it off the air. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ted. Do you have the answer to that, Bill?
I believe they were 30-year bonds, and so we have probably 20, 22 and 26 years, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's accurate, and the significance of that is that's far enough out into the future that by the time those bonds are paid off, there'll be significant maintenance issues, renovation, things like that that are going to be required at that time, or new needs. So there's, you know, those bonds may be paid off at that time, but there'll be other demands on those revenues is what I expect.
All right. So let's talk about what the task force has done so far. The task force was convened in the fall, early fall. What work have you guys done? What has been happening in the meetings? Let's go to you, Rick.
Okay, you're right. The task force was called together in August. We had four meetings since then. We've been involved with the presentations from the local service area boards, Homer's, the one in South Penn here, Homer Central. We've had presentations from the Seward Advisory Board, presentations from each of the hospital administrators as to what's happening in their communities, community health. Representative Seaton from this area came. And at the last meeting, once we finished those presentations, we received the consultant report as far as the dive on the demographics of the areas in the hospitals and where they stand financially. Along the way, in October, I believe, there was appointed a subcommittee to work on the practitioner-provider health issues, the down in the where the rubber, I guess, meets the road as far as those type of provisions. Dr. Sheridan is heading that committee, has had two meetings, I believe, in Central Penn. She's had a meeting down here with Homer providers getting an assessment. A lot of it is in your community health needs assessment, but getting the assessment from the practitioners. And has scheduled a meeting in Seward for next week to do the same thing over there. That's pretty much where we've been. Now, Bill here is the vice chair, and if I've missed something there, Bill, if you'd throw it in.
Well, we also had a presentation from Stroudwater about the national picture about healthcare and how accountable care organizations are coming together, and even from hospitals and other organizations in diverse geographic areas, and talked about the pressures from the federal government about changing the healthcare model from a sick care to a healthcare. And there was a lot of interesting and intricate detail about how these changes are going to come about. And I'm not sure, out of that presentation, one of the things I wonder is how the money's going to be maintained. We have, at this time, compensation to the health caregivers based on fixing people that are sick, but we don't have a line to maintain our facilities for keeping people healthy. So right now, the hospitals, we pay a mill rate to maintain the hospital, but most of the operation is funded by people that come in and get fixed up and either pay directly or have insurance of some kind, or Medicare, Medicaid. So as those healthcare models change, there's a lot of pressure from the federal government about changing the compensation system. So learning to adapt to that future regime is our challenge.
All right. So, and I'm curious, Bill, can you speak to what's the consultants have brought to the table so far? We've touched on a few of the things that they've done, but I'm wondering, what else have you heard from the consultants or gotten from the consultants?
Well, when they gave us two presentations, and the general presentation was mentioned talked about how many hospitals nationwide have been closed, mainly small rural hospitals, and that illustrates the pressures that are happening. They have a fair amount of experience about how to coordinate between institutions and get efficiencies in cooperation agreements. So I don't know if I can elaborate very much about, there's a lot of complications in healthcare, and I'm not very much of an expert on them.
I don't think any of us are. Mayor Navarre, there was something you wanted to touch on.
You know, what I wanted to discuss with what the healthcare consultants have done so far is they've given a perspective about the changes that are coming in healthcare and what the pressures are that are bringing about that change and why, you know, we ought to be looking at how we position ourselves for those changes in the future. But really what they've been doing up to this point is they've come up, they visited in Central Peninsula, over in Seward, and in South Peninsula, and talked to the providers and talked to the hospital boards and community and gathered information about how people in the communities and providers in the community feel about the structure that's in place now. So they're mostly gathering information. They've gone through the finances of all three hospitals to look at areas that they might achieve some additional either revenues or reimbursements, things like that, that just to get the information together so that they can then look at how healthcare is being delivered in our communities now, look at the different structures, sort of outline the different types of structures that are available, again, from one extreme, which is status quo, to the other extreme, which might be consolidation, look at it, put together the information, and then come back to the task force in March, I think, and go through late March, I think, and go through a facilitated process where the task force will look at the different options from the perspective of our communities and make a determination about whether or not they want to recommend any changes or whether or not and what types of changes they do want to recommend in order to move forward. So that's what they've done so far. They haven't come to any conclusions or come in with any recommendations at this point. They've pointed out some of the changes that are happening and are gathering information in order to help facilitate a process with the task force.
And I want to touch on this also, Mayor Navarre. This isn't... The task force itself isn't a single-minded body. These are people who have been gathered from all around the borough. So I'm guessing you guys are hearing all kinds of ideas or hope to be hearing all kinds of ideas discussed and vetted. And this isn't just a group that's going to come up with that is looking at one thing and one thing only.
No, I think that both the task force has heard presentations from different all of the different hospital entities, service areas, some doctors, and the subcommittee has also been out in the community listening to all kinds of different either areas that there could be enhanced services or that services are needed or recommendations for different types of ways to deliver health care, all the way from, you know, the current status quo where we incentivize sort of the fee for service to, more alternative care, things like that that might be a need for or advocacy for.
This is the Coffee Table here on KBBI AM 890 Homer. Thanks for tuning in. We are continuing our discussion about reforming the healthcare system here offered here on the Kenai Peninsula, and we have members of the healthcare task force put together by the Kenai Peninsula Borough with us here today, as well as Mayor Mike Navarre. Before we go into our next topic, we're going to throw out our phone number again for anyone who wants to call in and ask a question. You can call us locally here at 907-235-7721, and if you want to call toll-free, you can call 1-800-979-5224. So I want to talk a little bit about the cost of healthcare here and how much Peninsula residents are paying for health care right now. Mayor Navarro, do you want to go into that?
Well, I'll take a stab at it. And there's a couple of different perspectives. One is when you look at healthcare costs in Alaska, the Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska has done several studies dating back to 1991 on the growth of healthcare costs in Alaska. The last one they did, update they did, was in 2010, and what they estimated was that healthcare was costing $7.5 billion in 2010, and it would be $15 billion by 2020, which I extrapolated from that we're probably spending in excess of $10 billion in the state of Alaska on health care. And then I looked at the Kenai Peninsula being 8% of the population. We have three hospitals. We have very good health care. So 8% of the population, if we get our share of health care in the state, we're spending about $800 million a year on the Kenai Peninsula on health care. And I look at that and I say, is there a better way to allocate the dollars that are going into healthcare? And if there is, where would we like to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? And what steps do we need to take to position ourselves for that? And then the other perspective is from what the cost of healthcare is. As a private business owner, when I look at our healthcare costs and the increase in our premiums, it's ridiculous, and it's driving us to high deductibles, which means or higher copays, which shifts the cost to our employees. Because at the same time, it's still a higher cost to us, because even shifting to higher deductibles and higher copays, we still have to pay a higher premium. And look at health savings accounts. So we're just finding ways to put more money into a system that's really growing faster than it really should. And then another perspective is, as the mayor of the borough, and looking at the cost of health care for our public employees in the school district and at the borough level. And, our cost, it's one of the areas that I was actually appalled at in terms of benefits for public employees from when I was mayor from 96 to 99, and when I became mayor in 2011 and started looking at the budgets. The biggest area where benefits have grown is in the cost of health care. And currently we're paying for our employees about $2,000 a month is what the cost of health care is for our public employees. And so, I recognize it from the public sector and the cost of our public employees, but I think that we ought to be able to find a way for everybody, not just squeeze down the cost to public employees, but try to see if we can't figure out a way to control the costs long-term for everybody, all residents, businesses, individuals, and public employees.
Thank you, Mayor Navarro. And Rick, how about it? Cost of health care. What have you, as a member of the task force and in your time working in the service areas, what have you heard from the healthcare professionals here on the peninsula about what they're seeing at their respective hospitals?
What they're seeing now or what they see coming?
Let's talk about both. How about what they see right now?
Okay, what we see right now is you see insurance companies such as the state insurance saying it's cheaper to have work done outside than it is here. You have advertising that please come to Mayo or Virginia Mason for your hip replacement. We will house you and your caretaker and be responsible for any follow-up, and we can do it cheaper than what you're doing it in Alaska. And those things are true, and the marketplace is going to drive costs down. In our own hospital, we do knee replacements. I have a relative that just went through one, and the cost of the knee mechanical system itself to a little local hospital is such that it's almost a significant portion of what I could get it done outside for. So going forward, in order to meet the bundled payment approach that may be coming down the road, and probably is, where Medicare is only going to reimburse a certain dollar number for this, does that mean your local hospital, and I'll pick Central Peninsula now, for their orthopedics, are they going to have to do some affiliations with other orthopedic hospitals such as Providence or Regional in order now so that that knee joint itself that you're putting in doesn't cost $36,000, but maybe is significantly reduced to make up the margin for part of the reduction in total reimbursement. I don't know if I'm hitting exactly where you intended me to go, but those are the things that they're looking forward to and they're going to have to make adjustments for. And you have me clear outside my area of expertise.
But you did very well. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I want to go over to our phone line before we continue. We have William on line one. Thanks for joining us, William.
Hi. Thanks for putting this program on. And I just have one question. I have a lot of questions, but I'll just make it one. And that is, some time ago, maybe 8 or 9 months ago, there was an article in the paper that talked about long-term care in the state of Alaska was 350% more than the average of the lower 48. And I'm wondering if the task force is looking at this issue. I'll take my answer offline.
Thank you very much for calling in, William. And, you know, that's exactly what we are discussing right now, kind of is... Do either of you, any of you, Mayor Navarro, Bill, have anything else that you'd like to share with William?
Well, he's right. The cost of long-term care in Alaska is significantly higher than it is in other places, but the benefit of it, of course, is that the folks get to stay in the community where they resided before they needed the services of long-term care. But that's an area also that at some point we're going to get there's going to be increased focus on the cost of long-term care in Alaska. If we're 350% of what it's costing in other places, the pressures are going to be brought to bear to change that. So you've either got to find some kind of economy of scale, which is what Rick was talking about in orthopedics, in order to have bigger facilities that you can still have in your communities, or else they're going to become more and more susceptible to financial pressure.
Thank you very much. And we also have Roberta on the line. Hi, Roberta. Thanks.
Good morning. This is such a timely conversation, and it is a very difficult one. Healthcare is so complicated, and I'm always hope for the best and prepare for the worst. So I like us to be talking about this. I know the Stroudwater was really stressing affiliation, which took a lot of fears from those of us who've been involved in this. I'm on the service area board, and so affiliation is very strongly talked about, though with the state deficit and preparing for the worst, I'd like us to have a plan A, plan B, plan C, which is probably what it's going to be, and that it'll be starting out with affiliation and hoping that will take care of it, because many of us here in the area want to maintain local control. Our Bob Letson, our CEO, has really been positioning us for these changes coming our way, and it's so hard to predict what things are going to look like. So I'm very happy that the conversation is happening. We pay a 2.3 here in the South Peninsula, and they pay a 0.1 up at Central. And some people are saying, well, we pay 250 times more, which really is kind of apples and oranges when you have $230 per 100,000 and $1 is very different. And many of us are willing to pay that extra because we really appreciate our hospital. So I just want to thank you for your work on this, and it's going to be a very interesting times that we're going through. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Roberta. So next, I want to follow up with what Roberta was talking about, having options moving forward. And I'm curious, when is the task force planning on being able to make some kind of recommendations to the borough? Bill?
Well, the Stroudwater group is going to have some recommendations and have a facilitated meeting with the task force in late March. And we'll have to see what they put together and put a timeline together. I don't think that if there's something that's going to go to a ballot issue, that it would be we'd be able to put it together in time for a ballot issue this fall. So, like if we're creating a borough-wide healthcare organization or something, some other health service that's overarching, that would have to be by a vote. And I don't see that we have sufficient time to put together something complicated like that to do a vote this fall, but it could go to a special election next spring.
I see. So we're kind of in this for the long haul, it seems like. Mayor DeMardi, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Well, I guess I'd just add is that, you know, we didn't get to where we are with healthcare and how healthcare is delivered overnight, and we're not going to change it overnight either. This is going to be a process that's a continual evolution, and what I'm hopeful that the task force will come out with, and I think that they will, is just some recommendations about paths forward, what things that we need to be aware of, and maybe some recommendations about things that should be done on the short term, and then things that also we ought to look at in on the longer term. Now, my term in office ends in October of 2017, so this is going to go on well past my term in office. And as far as an election this fall, originally I had kind of hoped that we would get to an election this fall, but after I started thinking about it, this is a presidential election year. It's an election year for the state of Alaska under probably some of the more difficult fiscal situation that we've ever been in. And I think that there's going to be enough complicated issues that even if we could get it to October, it would get lost in the noise and competing with national issues, presidential election, statewide elections, and other local elections. So I think it's best that we put it off till next spring or perhaps even until the fall of 2017.
Next, Rick, I want to hear from you what you've seen in, you know, your time looking at this, being on the task force. What have you seen as far as, you know, the health of our hospitals here on the peninsula? What condition are they in?
Compared to many rural hospitals across the nation, they're in excellent condition. Financially, I think they're both in good condition. South Penn has some crunches at times, but they're in good shape, really, if you take what Stroudwater had to say about them. Seward is a municipally owned hospital operated under contract to Providence, and for what they do, apparently they're doing all right. The communities are very, very supportive of their hospitals, all three communities. I think that what you're going to find when we do get the Stroudwater report back with recommendations, it's going to be a facilitated conversation with the task force. But those recommendations are going to go out to the various service areas and operating boards for them to have input back to it. So, like both Bill and the mayor said, it's probably going to be a long process. There's not going to be a decisions made, this is the way we go tonight as a result of a facilitated conversation. There's going to be time for the hospital administrations, service area boards, everybody to have input into where we think we should go.
And we, you know, you said we have a, financially we have hospitals in good condition, fairly healthy, but you want to keep them that way. That's the point of the task force. And I want to go back to the trends that you're seeing in the industry that, you know, has prompted this task force to come together. Mayor Navarre, what are some of the more specific trends that you've seen that we haven't discussed already?
Well, there's bundled payments and managed care and ACOs as maybe one of the tools to do that. Additionally, what we're seeing is more of a focus on primary care and wellness as a way of population health, as a way of trying to reduce costs in our current system. And one of the areas that there's going to be pressure is, you know, there's already talk about a shortage of primary care doctors nationwide and in Alaska. So how do we recruit, how do we make sure we can recruit more primary care doctors, which are where the focus of sort of the managed care is going to be, especially since what we've seen sort of evolve over the past 30 years or so is a lot of folks in medical practice have gone into specialties. Why? Well, because the reimbursements for specialty care is so much higher than it is for primary care, in spite of the fact that primary care has really more responsibilities and more areas that they have to be knowledgeable about in terms of overall care. And so those, you know, how do you, one, recruit more primary care physicians if that is what the model is going to look like in the future? And secondarily, what about specialty care as we see doctors transitioning out because of retirements or whatever other pressures, and where will they go? How do we recruit them here? Mm. And that gets to, at least in part, what Rick talked about is in orthopedic care and other specialty cares, how do you get to an economy of scale that you can provide the services in your communities if you want to sustain that?
Gotcha. So, Bill, is there anything else that you want to add? Mayor Navarro spoke about preventative care being, you know, one of those trends that we are seeing the industry moving towards. Has there anything? Have you guys seen anything come out of the Stroudwater group yet, or have you heard anything from the professionals here at our South Peninsula Hospital, Central Peninsula Hospital, the hospital out in Seward about you know, what we can do to kind of move towards that mindset of bring more preventative care options online?
Well, one of the models that's being used in some parts of the country is that Medicare or Medicaid patients will be assigned there'll be a group healthcare organization that gets a budget, let's say $15,000 a year to take care of this individual. And if they can take care of the individual and keep them healthy, then for $10,000, then they can split the difference with the federal government. So that's a healthcare model that is going to work with the providers to find efficiencies, because the providers have an incentive to keep people healthy. I don't know how that would work on the private market, but it's an interesting option that uses a profit motive to drive efficiencies.
We only have about 5 minutes left here in the show, less than 5 minutes actually. So before we go though, I want to kind of narrow down what the task force is going to, you know, make its kind of priority. There are a million things that can be changed with healthcare here on the peninsula. There's so many things that can be changed, so many things to be looked at. Is there, are there any, I guess, very narrow, specific things that absolutely in your minds needs to be addressed? We'll go to you, Mayor Navarre.
You know, I think that there probably needs to be better affiliation between the hospitals on the peninsula. I also think that we need to look out a little longer term, and if we end up getting the AKLNG project in the central peninsula in Nikiski, how do we use those borough revenues for what is one of the most important things in people's lives, which is healthcare? How do we use those resources borough-wide? And currently, with the service area structure that we have, the borough doesn't have an ability to take revenues from general government and put them in other communities that are not part of the service area where those assets are sited. So you can't use general government revenues to support functions in other communities that are operated within a prescribed service area. That's one of the things that we need to look at, and we don't have to make the decision immediately, but if it becomes more imminent, then we really need to look long-term at what's best in order to provide resources for health care throughout the entire Kenai Peninsula.
Rick, anything else that you think absolutely should be addressed by this task force moving forward before you guys throw in the towel, hand in your results?
Well, you know, there's the mayor just outlined an area that, quite frankly, the task force hasn't touched on yet. And it was an alternative that he threw out early on in, when he put the task force together, as far as the taxing authority of the borough and how the revenues can be used to support the healthcare outside of service areas, bringing in funds from outside the service area without, with or without going to a borough power. I don't know those answers. Going forward, I think the first thing the task force needs to do is deal with the recommendations of the Stroudwater when we receive them, make sure they're well understood in all the communities that are affected, and see if we can come to a consensus on where we need to go if we need to make some changes. But we need to build that consensus in the communities.
Thank you very much. And Bill, I wanted to, you know, get your last tidbit as well, but we are running out of time. So I'm just going to go ahead and bring it to an end here. Thank you all for joining us today. It was a, you know, fun conversation. I'm glad you all could make it. This is The Coffee Table here on KBBI. Thanks for joining us. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is coming up next. Stay tuned.